Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day where we are facing a great choice that is becoming clear all the time. And believe it or not, next time we get together, Monday will be the very first day of the Democratic Convention. You ready for that? You get to hear a one-minute speech from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah, that's the time she's been given. A keynote address by, I am sure, the oldest keynoter they have ever used. Usually they give the keynote address to somebody who's considered a rising star in the party. Is anyone think Bernie Sanders is a rising star in the Democratic Party? He's going to be their keynoter, and they will also be featuring a big speech. Apparently, they're planning on doing this at a football field. That's what I'm told. It could be out of doors, just as President Trump has now decided. He's not doing Gettysburg, and he's not going to do the Oval Office. The word from the Republican side is that the president's going to be delivering his acceptance speech on one of the White House lawns. And, of course, Democrats are still complaining because it's the White House. I don't think that's going to be a productive complaint, and I don't think it's an entirely fair complaint. The president lives in the White House. And, yes, he would be using federal property for political advantage, but he's the president of the United States, and since he is not delivering an acceptance speech in person before a live crowd because of the circumstances with the virus and the pandemic, I think the White House lawn is going to work. The question is, how many people will he have around him? We shall see. And by the way, everybody should wish a speedy recovery to the president's younger brother, Robert, who has been admitted to the hospital. Apparently he's very ill, and I know the president is planning to visit with him. But first, the president did a press conference this morning. I suspect he's also planning to do another press availability later this afternoon. The press love talking to President Trump because he always makes news, and President Trump loves talking to them because he enjoys the back and forth. And that's even when he is asked some fairly silly questions. For instance, he was asked today, this morning, about his comments on Twitter and elsewhere, his very negative comments about Kamala Harris, calling her nasty and extremely nasty and very nasty and nasty, nasty, nasty. And here was the question and President Trump's response about those comments this morning.
You've been very blunt about how you feel about her mean, nasty, mad woman. Biden now saying...
No, I haven't been blunt. I said she treated Joe Biden worse than anybody else. I watched those debates. They were very boring, but they were debates nevertheless. And I watched, you know, pretty good parts of them. And she treated Biden worse than anybody else by far. There was nobody, including Pocahontas. Nobody treated Biden so badly as Kamala.
Well, let me ask you this, then. Do you have an issue with a strong woman of color being in this presidential race?
None whatsoever.
You don't see her as a threat?
As you know, none whatsoever. Nope, not at all.
Okay, that's the right answer, of course. Do I believe that in the deepest heart of hearts, in his deep psychological makeup, that is unquestionably the truth? I don't know, but I know that that's the right answer politically, and he handled that series of questions fairly well. He also dodged an important question. Okay, and now I just have to give you a little bit of background, because people are just becoming aware of QAnon, but it made the front page of the New York Times today, and it refuses to go away, and it is truly bizarre and very disturbing. I am troubled by the fact that there are elements in the Republican Party that believe this crap, and that there are actually apparently millions of Americans. They estimate that there are over 5 million people based upon the internet who are regular followers of the QAnon nonsense. What the QAnon nonsense is supposedly there is some kind of very high government official, somebody really, really high, somebody in the part of the deep state, but who is revealing the truth about hidden things. That President Trump is actually been on a mission, and he's been on a mission since he first ran for president, which is to expose this ring of Satan-worshipping, cannibalistic pedophiles who traffic in little children. It's a group that is led by Hillary Clinton and George Soros and Bill Gates, and they drink blood, and they worship Satan, and President Trump is just waiting for the right time to blow the whistle on all of them and to put them all in jail or to get them executed, which is what QAnon believes needs to be done. And it's called QAnon because it's Q. That's the designation of this one source who is giving them all these informations and all of these signals all of the time. And it's the one source who is anonymous. That's why it is QAnon. Now, the problem for the Republican Party, and frankly the problem for the country, is we are likely to have a member of Congress who believes this garbage. And in fact, who said on her victory night, actually just before it, I'm talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is the Republican nominee for Congress in a district in Georgia, a district which is very, very heavily Republican. I believe President Trump carried that district by more than 30 points. And he's congratulated her on her win, despite the fact that she said, well, now we're going to go to Congress and we're going to expose all those Satan-worshipping pedophiles in our government. I don't believe that the government is actually penetrated or saturated with Satan-worshipping, cannibalistic pedophiles who drink blood and traffic in children. Okay, this is really problematic. It's actually led to violent incidents in the past. So this is why President Trump was asked this question. You listen to his response.
Congratulated Marjorie Taylor Greene in a tweet. You called her a future Republican star. Greene has been a proponent of the QAnon conspiracy theory. She said it's something that would be worth listening to. Do you agree with her on that?
Well, she did very well in the election. She won by a lot. She was very popular. She comes from a great state. And she had a tremendous victory, so absolutely, I did congratulate her. Please, go ahead.
Really, I'm still an honor to embrace that conspiracy theory. Do you agree with her on that? That was the question.
Go ahead, please.
I just wanted to ask you.
Okay, Mr. President, it's going to help your campaign if you will simply say, no, of course I don't agree with her on that. You see, the difficulty here is that everything he says, QAnon people say, well, this is an indication that he's with us. He's part of exposing this Satan-worshipping, cannibalistic, child-trafficking cabal at the very heart of everything. For instance, you remember when President Trump got a great deal of grief for saying for Ghislaine Maxwell, the former girlfriend of Jeffrey Epstein, that he wished her well? Well, according to QAnon, that was because President Trump was counting on her cooperation in exposing this conspiracy that Jeffrey Epstein, of course, was part of. We will be right back on the MedVed Show. What are the odds now that Kamala Harris has been added to the ticket? Biden doing better or worse? We'll get to that on the Medved Show.
Medved.
He's a very smart man. He is a very respected man, and he's very respected at the top of the line.
Friends, have you had a chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com. They're the leading forum and think tank in the nation for the study and application of faith and freedom. In fact, Michael Medved visits Grove City College every year to be a part of their annual conference. He's spoken on a vast array of topics to hundreds of people at that conference. In fact, as you may know, he broadcasts this very show from their campus every year when he's there. It's always such an amazing time. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we here at the Medved Show encourage you to visit their website. They have all their past conferences available. You can watch Medved's talk along with many other engaging talks. Dr. Paul Kangor, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ryan Anderson, Robbie George, and many, many more. Visit them today at faithandfreedom.com to see the wonderful lectures from some of the brightest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com. That's faithandfreedom.com.
Politicians and the media will never mention one of the biggest challenges facing the health and well-being of every American, the explosion of junk science in our country. That's why I'm so grateful for the American Council on Science and Health, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. You've probably heard all sorts of junk science about red meat causing cancer or climate change destroying all life on Earth. Thankfully, ACSH fights back, but they need your help. Visit the website today, acsh.org.
During this time, perhaps more than ever, we're looking for things to binge watch, read, and listen to, because we're spending more time at home than ever before. So here at the Medved Show, we want to extend a special offer to listeners right now who've not yet taken the leap to become a Medhead Premium subscriber. If you go to michaelmedved.com, click on the Medhead banner, and use the promo code SPRING40, you'll get $20 off an annual membership. In addition to that, for new members or existing Medhead members, we've discounted everything at the Medved History Store by 50%.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Daily dose of debate.
I'm sorry, I cooled my temper here. You had me, my blood really boiling.
The Michael Medved Show.
Is Kamala Harris the perfect choice for vice president for Joe Biden, or is she the worst possible choice he could have made? Now, there are some conservative columnists and commentators who are suggesting, oh, Kamala Harris is a disaster. She's the worst choice he could possibly have made. There are many, many other people on the left saying, wow, Joe Biden aced this test. I mean, he aced the test even more than President Trump aced the person, woman, man, camera, TV test. It's in between, as it usually is. And somebody who gets it right, the idea that, okay, Kamala Harris is not the worst choice Trump could have made, but she comes with some problems, is Mike Gerson. And Mike Gerson is a former chief speechwriter to President George W. Bush. I know he's still close with President Bush. He is a very much a Christian conservative. He is an outspoken columnist for The Washington Post. And he's written a column that I think comes closest to striking the right balance about Kamala Harris and what she does in the midst of this campaign. And what he writes is, he writes, by any reasonable standard, Harris had an excellent launch. And he goes on and he says, the reaction to Harris's selection by Republican staffers in the U.S. Senate is instructive. Though not viewed as a legislative or ideological leader, unlike, say, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, Harris was described by these Republican staffers to me as disciplined, steady, and tough. She knows her stuff, said one. She possesses poise and energy. She will prove a formidable debater. I think all of that is true. But no one, he writes, no one I talked with described Harris as a moderate. She came to the Senate as a California liberal, I was told. And she helps to define the left edge of her party. That's what Republican staffers told Mike Gerson. Whether Biden understands it and whether he cares, Gerson writes, the selection of Harris contributes to a Catholic problem that already existed because of Biden's pro-choice views and his newly discovered support for federal funding of abortions. And this, by extension, is also an evangelical problem. Now, Mike Gerson is not Catholic. He's evangelical. The Catholic vote is utterly crucial because if you look at the way that votes in recent elections have broken down, the white Protestant evangelical vote is just overwhelmingly Republican. Mitt Romney got 80% of that vote. Trump got 82%. He's doing, I think, even better than that now among white evangelicals. But then again, you turn around to the Catholic vote. And the Catholic vote won the race for Trump last time, and it usually does, because it's a swing vote. It is less predictable. The Protestant vote in general tends to go Republican. That 25% of Americans who are nuns, who have no religious affiliation, go overwhelmingly Democratic. And then the Catholic vote is up for grabs. Now, one of the reasons it ends up being up for grabs is a lot of the Catholic vote, about 40% of it, is Latino. But Gerson brings up an episode that I think a number of people have brought up, which is going to be used undoubtedly against Kamala Harris in ads, and it should be. In 2018, as a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Harris strongly suggested that being a member of the Knights of Columbus, a nearly 2 million member Catholic social and charitable organization, was disqualifying for the federal bench. The Knights of Columbus, by the way, was the main group back in the 1890s and early 1900s that started sponsoring Christopher Columbus statues all over the country. Statues that are now being torn down with apparent support or approval from the likes of Kamala Harris. She posed a series, this is Senator Harris, of inappropriate questions to a federal district court nominee named Brian Buescher, who had joined the Knights of Columbus at age of 18. Were you aware that the Knights of Columbus opposed a woman's right to choose when you joined the organization? She asked him. Were you aware that the Knights of Columbus opposed marriage equality when you joined the organization? Have you ever in any way assisted with or contributed to advocacy against women's reproductive rights? I mean, that kind of question, wouldn't that rule out any religious Catholic from serving on the bench? And this really is a problem, and I think that Mike Gerson is exactly right about this. Says during her own campaign for president, Harris proposed that states with a record of challenging Roe v. Wade be subject to a heightened level of scrutiny by the Justice Department. This would effectively place state-level pro-life legislation in the same category as violations of the Civil Rights Act. None of this will seem particularly extreme to the rising generation of Democratic leaders. Herein lies the problem, he writes. Such social views are perceived as extreme in much of the country. And for conservatives who want to support an alternative to Trump, it isn't just a perception problem. What needs to be done, he asks? If the goal, as Harris herself has said, is a mandate, then some outreach to and reassurance of religious people is in order. It would be relatively easy to say that in an era of pandemic death, economic collapse, and global humiliation, weakening protections for religious expression and blocking state pro-life legislation will not be high on Biden's agenda. There will, however, be unavoidable issues related to religious liberty, and it's not too much to ask for Biden to provide assurance that he respects the rights of religious institutions and individuals, even when he strongly disagrees with them on divisive matters. That is what pluralism at its best is about. At least some Americans are hoping for the kind of Biden victory, he says, that buries polarization, not merely a victory for the opposite ideological pole. And look, I think he is entirely correct. Biden, of course, is smart enough, or at least the people around him are, to have at his website a great deal about Joe's history as a Catholic layman. And somebody went to Catholic school growing up and still identifies as a Catholic. He identifies as a Pope Francis Catholic, very liberal Catholic, but still. He was our first, he's our only Catholic vice president. And if he is going to win those Catholic votes, that he needs to win the election. I think that some of Gerson's advice is very solid. And what about where the election stands right now in terms of the odds and the betting and the futures markets? Jerry Boyer, who is an economist and an analyst of those markets, joins us to talk about the impact of the Harris nomination and more. Coming up.
I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
What happened should never happen again. So he is pleading guilty. Terrible thing. Fact is, they spied on my campaign and they got caught.
President Trump's reaction as former FBI attorney Kevin Kleinsmith is expected to plead guilty to altering documents used to justify the spying on of one-time Trump advisor Carter Page. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is outlining a five-part plan to limit looting similar to what happened earlier this week.
challenge that we face goes beyond just broken windows and stolen property. What was damaged was the faith and confidence of our residents and businesses in their city's ability to ensure basic protection.
The city plans to put more than 1,000 officers on the streets this weekend to keep the city safe. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and give you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
My friend Jerry Boyer is an economist. He is an analyst, author, and journalist. He is the publisher of the Affluent Investor Daily. He's been on talk shows all around the world, and he is also by the way, Affluent Investor Daily is affluentinvestor.com, and he is also a master of what are called futures markets, which have to do with probabilities in terms of what happens in the election, what happens in the world at large. And let me ask you first, Jerry, before we get into the politics, what do the futures markets say about the timing for a successful vaccine for the COVID-19?
They don't say anything about it. I think that there would be regulatory problems with them doing that. So we can't find a futures market on the vaccine question.
Do you think that it is unduly pessimistic what Dr. Fauci has said recently, that we're not going to get anything until probably the spring of 2021?
I think that it's in the nature of public health officials, including Dr. Fauci, to underpromise rather than overpromise. I think that's just kind of part of the medical mindset in general, and also the kind of public bureaucracy mindset in general. Maybe not unwise. Politicians tend to overpromise and underdeliver, whereas people like that tend to underpromise. So there might be a bit of a bias. I'm not attacking them. I admire them, but I think there might be a bit of a bias in terms of if he's got a choice between the over under. I think he'll sort of take the over when it comes to the time to a vaccine.
Right, and then nobody's going to complain if it comes earlier. Oh, you told us it would be later. Everybody's so overjoyed when we actually get a vaccine and we can maybe get back to normal American life. And speaking about getting back to normal American life, we're about to begin conventions like never before. Monday is the beginning of the Democratic Convention. What do the futures markets, what does the probabilities say about the impact of adding Kamala Harris to the ticket? Has she improved Joe Biden's chances or damaged them?
She improved them for about 15 minutes, and then it went back to the baseline. 15 minutes might be exaggerating it. Let's say a couple of days, but she gave him maybe 4 or 5, extra probability points, and then it went back down to where it's been, for some time. Actually, he had been falling off a bit. That's interesting. So Democrats have peaked in general. Democrats have peaked in probability markets about 3 weeks ago. Kamala, got it.
Right.
So she gave him a little bounce, and then that bounces back down to him at about 59% to win the presidency. You know, what's really interesting is she is still in the futures market for herself to become the president. So futures markets are kind of splitting the bet here a little bit. And they're saying, they're like combining Harris-Biden, saying, well, maybe it's her as vice president, or maybe it's her as president. They're basically giving a 1 in 7 probability that it's her, not Biden. In other words, he drops out, health reasons, whatever. That's been kind of consistent. That's been a really odd little thing here. You never have a split between who's going to win the number of delegates necessary to be the nominee and who will be the nominee. But in this case with Biden, with I think some signs of cognitive decline, they're pricing in a non-trivial probability that he doesn't get to the finish line, and that it's Harris against Trump.
Are there any on the other side? Are there any comparisons? Any people who seem to believe that Mike Pence is going to be the one who wins the election in November?
I haven't looked at that, but the last time I looked at it, it was a trivial difference. So there's always going to be somebody. There's always going to be somebody who will bet, in a certain way. There's always going to be somebody, who bets against the crowd, but not a lot of people. And there's not a lot of people who are betting that Trump is dropping out for Pence.
Right.
But there are a significant number who are betting that Biden drops out for Harris.
Okay, the other hat that you wear is as an analyst of markets, and it's tough to see. The Dow was just about static today. I think it ended up gaining 11 points or something like that. But the arguments have been, Wall Street Journal ran a piece that said, get ready for the Biden bounce, that Joe Biden being a winner or a likely winner is very good for the markets. There are others, of course, who say, look, Trump has had a booming market for most of his presidency. We have this V-shaped recovery of the stock market, at least, that President Trump has hoped for and predicted. What do you think? Because generally, and I look back at this, Jerry, generally, right after the election usually is a pretty good time for markets just because there's less uncertainty. Do you think that'll be the case this time?
Do I think that it'll be good if there's less uncertainty? That's a good question. So you clear up the uncertainty. Let's say Biden wins, right? So we're more certain that he wins if he wins, right? So we've taken the lack of knowledge out of it. On the other hand, I don't think markets would like Biden policy very much. So I think that Biden is bad for markets. I'm not someone who says that the Democrats always bad for markets and the Republicans always good for markets. You can have Republicans.
Yeah, because the record actually shows the record actually shows that the biggest gainers for the stock market were Calvin Coolidge and Bill Clinton.
Yes.
But go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, right? And Nixon was terrible for markets. So it's like, so Democrats will say, well, you know, we're better for market. And it's kind of like, you know what? JFK is kind of ours. If you look at his policies, and Clinton's a little bit of ours when you look at his economic policies, and Nixon's really kind of more of yours. So I try to look at policy. So there's growth policies. Biden is not a growth guy. Clinton was a growth guy. Kennedy was a growth guy. Biden is not. So I don't think he's good over the long term for market. I think that Trump is good over the long term for markets. I don't think he's as good as he could be, as good as I want him to be, because he increases the uncertainty factor. He does some.
And then this gets me to another question, which is,
yeah,
I have heard some analysis that the worst thing for the markets would be an uncertain election. They hate uncertainty. If the election drags on and isn't settled till December or January, that's bad, no?
That'll be bad. Oh, yeah. If you get one of these kind of constitutional crisis things where, you know, there's a question about mail-in ballots or there are hanging chads, and then it goes to the courts, markets hate that stuff. I mean, when that happened before with the recount, I mean, it was big enough. It didn't just move markets, but it materially moved the dollar, which is kind of impregnable, right? The currency. You know, when markets are going up and down, we're saying, well, you know, we're saying that these particular businesses are going up and down. But when the currency moves, when the dollar is selling off, that's almost like, can this regime survive? And when we were in the midst of all this recount stuff, it actually hit the dollar significantly. So if we have one of those situations, which is not impossible, mail-in ballots make things more complex. There's a lot of opportunities to challenge things legally. There are long drawn out counting processes. Sometimes those long drawn out counting processes exceed the state law, you know, the limits, which raises legal issues. So we're in my opinion, we're in for a rough ride.
That's Jerry Boyert. It's always a pleasure to speak to you, and you should have a wonderful weekend and safe weekend with your family. When we come back, 75 years ago, a day of celebration. Why? We'll get to it. Did you know precious metals had a solid history of outperforming the stock market during tough economic times? Chatting with my good friend Nick Grovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, he warned me there are severe shortages of gold, silver, and platinum right now. Now, many dealers have nothing to sell. So right now, Amfed is helping hundreds of people acquire bullion. They're open for business with some staff working from home, and they can lock you in precious metals at a very fair price. Nick has been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows the intricacies of every market condition, what to buy now, and what you should avoid. He's the only person, really, that I trust for solid advice and the one person you need to talk to about this situation. Call Amfed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com or 800-221-7694.
Most of us have been spending a lot more time at home recently. Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on Giza Elegance MyPillows, Roll and Go Anywhere Pillows, Duvet Covers, Giza Pillowcases, Bolster Pillows, and Neck Pillows. Just go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com and use promo code MEDVED or call 1-800-320-6280. If you order Mike Lindell's book, your entire MyPillow order will ship for free, plus he'll give you a $25 gift card for your next purchase. Don't miss this incredible opportunity to buy one, get one free on pillows, duvets, and more from MyPillow. Call 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280. Or go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED. MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
And on this Friday in mid-August, it's worth recalling that 75 years ago today, President Truman, the still relatively new President of the United States, he had come into office in April, President Truman announced the end of the Second World War, humanity's most costly and horrendous conflict. The American president was able to tell the people that Japan had surrendered unconditionally. And this led to pandemonium in New York City. You've seen some of the photographs, maybe some of the newsreel footage. And it's one of those things. I know my dad was stationed in San Francisco at the time. He was in the U.S. Navy. And he, like a lot of other GIs, my dad was 19. And he had just turned 19. And he was expecting to be part of the operation, which would have involved more than a million, probably 1.5 million American fighting men to invade the home islands of Japan. And when you look at the casualty estimates that our military was projecting, and the military are not unnecessarily grim. They're trying to look at this to calculate what you have to be prepared for. You were talking about 500,000 American casualties, killed and wounded, and they estimated at least 3 million Japanese casualties. It would have been unspeakable, which is why Hiroshima Day, which is August 6th, which, of course, is 8 days ago, that Hiroshima Day, which is marked as a dark day, was the day that led to this day and the end of that war. It's one of those things where there are so many mistakes and myths about World War II. One of our most popular history programs ever is called Myths and Mistakes About World War II. And I urge you, if you're a MedHead member, you can download it from the History Store. It's half price. And if you're not a MedHead member, check it out anyway. Because particularly at a time when people are suggesting, my goodness, this is the toughest time we've ever had in this country. I agree, by the way. I think it has become a very tough time. But you can't compare it to what we went through in the Second World War. Check out our World War II history program. It's nearly 3 hours of storytelling and information and fact to correct some of the mistakes. And if you're trying to homeschool your kids coming up, this is a great resource. One of the things that always is frustrating is when you talk to younger people, they don't know the difference between World War I and World War II. No, they really don't. Yeah, they're both big wars, right? Yeah, terrible. We won. Very different wars. And very different how we got into them. We also have a World War I program, which is called The Great War or America's Greatest Mistake, which actually looks on how America tried for 3 years to stay out of World War I. And how President Wilson, in a manner that a lot of people still consider very questionable, got us involved. And 125,000 Americans gave their lives in that war. Check it out. This is available at MedvedHistoryStore.com, MedvedHistoryStore.com, and a great resource for people who want to not only pass the time when we're dealing with a pandemic, but to enrich their understanding. And speaking of anniversaries, there is another anniversary. And the other anniversary is September 11th, which is coming up. New York City just revealed their priorities. The iconic Lower Manhattan 9/11 memorial display that features twin beams of light shining into the sky to honor victims of the terror attacks 19 years ago, that will not shine this year. Why? Because of concerns about the coronavirus. The annual tribute and light display requires a large crew to pull off, so said the 9/11 Memorial and Museum, posing health risks that were far too great. So the museum said, nope, no, not this year. Instead, they're going to have a tribute in lights, which will feature buildings across the city lighting up their facades and spires in blue on 9/11. Okay, that's a nice thing, but it when you put this in context, it's very strange. Because do you remember that back earlier in August, you had city officials in New York who ignored their own application process for public art projects to paint Black Lives Matter on streets everywhere and everywhere around. And you had the mayor of New York saying, yeah, this was just so important that we had to take the risks of reinfection, et cetera, et cetera. The New York Post reported at the time, city officials ignored their own application process for public art projects to paint Black Lives Matter murals around the five boroughs in order to mark an important moment in history. Mayor de Blasio said his administration faces claims of First Amendment violations because he refused to greenlight other proposals. There was a pro-Trump group called Women for America First. They wanted to do a mural that said engaging, inspiring, and empowering women to make a difference. Well, they wouldn't allow that. But they would allow Black Lives Matter. He said, this is something that, again, transcends all normal realities because we're at a moment of history when that had to be said and it had to be done, and that's a decision I made, said de Blasio. Okay, in other words, to send a message that says Black Lives Matter, that is so important, so overwhelmingly significant, so necessary, that We don't have to go through regular precautions or permitting processes or anything. And the mayor himself went out there to help paint the message Black Lives Matter. But when it comes to remembering the victims of Islamo-Nazi terror on September 11th, 3,000 Americans who were killed, we're going to do it in a way that puts fewer people at risk. Okay, I do not begrudge the museum for making a call and saying, look, we don't want to risk any of our workers or any people working for us or setting up this display getting coronavirus. I think caution is a good thing. But that brings us to a new column just posted by Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, who is making a demand of President Trump. And the demand is for a federal mask mandate, which seemed to be the same demand that Senator Harris and Vice President Biden made yesterday. Would that really save lives? Or is it more than enough to leave it to governors like Governor Whitmer? Why is it necessary for a federal mask mandate? We will also be talking about a bunch of new movies that range from the really revoltingly terrible and unwatchable to actually delightful and very funny and very insightful and a film that I think everybody should see. We will get to those films. We will also be reviewing a very revealing Call of the Week classic coming up on the Medved Show. And talking a little bit about the hysteria about overstating American racism. Is it true that if Trump wins, he's going to put all people who support BLM and people who are on the liberal side of things in jail? That's what one of the leading commentators on cable TV has said. And then again, how do you spin a great piece of news like the peace deal yesterday between Israel and the United Arab Emirates? How do you spin that as a betrayal? Only if you're an extreme leftist eager to look at the dark side of everything concerning this greatest nation on God's green earth.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Attention radio listeners, have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.